Greetings to all here this morning. I rejoice to be here with you again. It's probably a little hard to do it sometimes with only two of us up there, as well as two here in the ministry, but I seek an interest in your prayers this morning. As I thought about the Sunday school lesson this morning, I think the aim of the lesson was the response to the gospel. What are you doing with your, what are you doing about the gospel? When the Lord speaks to you through your personal devotional life or through a sermon or through a Sunday school class, we serve a great God today. I've been impressed with that recently. And so to Ethan and Colleen, you don't have to hear a rerun this morning. I don't think I ever preached on it before. I thought about that as I was preparing to come down here. Well, what all did Ethan hear? What all didn't they hear? Well, it doesn't matter. The Word of God bears repeating. But I'd like to look at the sovereignty of God this morning. We serve a great God. We live in a war-torn world, a world of chaos. But let me tell you something, God is in control. And there'll be a time that will come when we can experience that eternal rest with Him. When the whole church will be taken there, we'll be a part of that. But as we think of the sovereignty of God this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Psalms chapter 90. We'll base our message out of that. We'll move on through the scriptures as we look at various aspects of that. Psalms chapter 90, I'm going to read that chapter this time. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spent our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul who was in prison, and they began to sing, and the prison doors were open, and Paul took the opportunity to witness for the Lord there. So today, as we think about the sovereignty of God, we want to examine this morning. This morning, let us explore the sovereignty of God and the difference that believing in God, in a God who is in control in all our daily lives today and all the circumstances that we may face. In verse 2, we see God's resume here. He existed before anything else. He always was. You know, we can hardly wrap our minds around that. That God always was. There's no beginning for God. He always was. He says, you gave birth to the earth and the world from eternity to eternity. You are God. 1 Timothy 6:16 tells us that God is the only one who has an immortality, eternally triumph. He is all-powerful. The second thing under God's regime is he created all things. Everything we see today, God created man. He created every one of us. He brought us all into existence. God has control of all that. All things were created through him. Colossians 1:16, because by him everything was created in heaven and on earth. The visible and the invisible was created by God. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him. God knows everything. He knows everything in your life and mine. He knows where you'll be tomorrow. He knows when your last day of your life is going to come. God knows all of that. It's hard to imagine all of that. But God knows your very thoughts. He knows my thoughts. You know, God knows our future. Job, you think of Job, and what all he'd gone through, God knew everything. And Job turned to God, and all that Job sinned not. He knows all of life because he created everything that we see around us. The third thing is, as we think of God's regime, is that he also sustains all things. He also sustains all things. Colossians 1:17 tells us that he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. Hebrews 1:3 adds that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact expression of his nature, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. The language of the Bible tells us that his power to make everything and holds it all together. The earth spins on its axis. And so when the earth spins on its axis, that tells us that the world is not flat, but it is round. And there are other scriptures you can look at. The fourth thing is, as we think of God's resume, is he is above all things. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, let's look at verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like him. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all, my pleasures. The foreknowledge, the divine counsels, the omnipotence of God, that's the God we serve. And so much more, we can claim the promises of God. Those that have been fulfilled in the past and those that are yet to be fulfilled will be certain and sure because he is God. He says, my plan is going to take place, and he says, I will do it. I will do all my will. God isn't limited. He's not restrained at all. He's not restrained by anything. brothers and sisters, that ought to bless our hearts this morning to think that that's the God we serve. And that's the God someday that we're going to be in heaven with. Go with me to Psalms 139, verses 1 to 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassed my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows everything. Everything the Lord does, whatsoever he pleases in heaven and on earth, in the seas and in all the depths. Jeremiah 32, 27. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Is there anything that is too hard for God? Absolutely not. There's nothing too hard for God. The next point under God's resume is that he orchestrates all things. He orchestrates all things. Everything is in his control. So when you think of life, that maybe there's some times that it seems like things are out of control, remember, God is still there. God is still there. Is anything too difficult for God? And everything goes according to his plan. Ephesians 1:11 reminds us that God works out everything in agreement with his decision, with the decision of his will. And we trust in that. As we think of God's resume, the next point is this: he rules all things. Go with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. And I, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This is after Nebuchadnezzar came through the experience of great humiliation, and he recognized God is in control. So when God was through with him, he acknowledged God for his dominion. He wants our honor to him. He wants us to bring glory to him in our life that we live. He wants us to glorify him. We are here to serve the Lord and to bring glory and praise to his name. The next point is this, as we think of God's resume, is that he is in control of all things, and perhaps mentioned that already. He controls the choices that world leaders make. Proverbs 21:1, a king's heart is a water channel in the Lord's hand, and he directs it wherever he chooses. And as we look at the world events today, and we see a war-torn world, and we see world leaders making decisions, remember, God is controlling everything. We see a lot of antiism for Israel and for Christianity. We see that we hear the world saying, down with Israel and down with America, down with Christianity. God is in control. God is in control. We need not fear. He's in control, of course, of all human events. Psalms 33, 9 to 11. I'm going to turn to that one. Psalms 33, 9 to 11. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Part of that verse is prophetical. I'm not here to necessarily bring in the prophetical this morning. But the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Is he controlling your choices this morning? Throughout the week, do we look to God to seek counsel in making choices? We make many choices every day. He controls calamity. And Amos 3:6 says, if a disaster occurs, and let me turn to that in Amos chapter 3, 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? In Psalms 104 verse 4, and 147 verse 18, and Psalms 148 verse 8, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, powerful winds can cause great damage, can bring great calamity. There's not a plant or flower below, but makes the glories of the Lord known. The clouds arise and the tempests blow. God is in control. He controls our circumstances. Go with me to the book of James as we think of the Lord controlling our circumstances. In James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanishes away. But that you might say, that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. May we bear that in mind as we go through life and we make plans for tomorrow. I think it's right, but if the Lord will, we'll do this or that. Get a picture. To say God is sovereign is to say that he is unlimited in power. He is unlimited in knowledge and unaffected by anything outside of himself. He's outside of time. He wills to do anywhere at any time, in every single detail, without inheritance, without interference. It is he who reigns. Now run that around around the block in your thoughts. When we love someone so dearly and yet lies in a hospital bed, and we don't know what's going to be the outcome. There was an elderly man in our Amish community back home he's about my age, that was injured by a runaway horse. Been a buggy accident out in front of our house here not too long ago. And he tried to stop the horse and became injured. He's in the hospital. Part of his brain was damaged, changed his personality. Why? God knew all those things before it happened. God is in control. When we're lonely sometimes and the phone doesn't ring for hours or days, do we go down in discouragement? God is in control in all of that. Nothing will enter into your life and mine that God does not either decree or permit. And this God that we serve will sustain us through all of that. Romans tells us that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Do we believe that? Can we grasp that? If you doubt that, the evidence of your experience is ongoing with the reality of what I'm describing. I want you to ask, do you consider God as all-knowing? And as you think about that, as you think through that, ask yourself this question. Ask yourself whether your idea of God is where it needs to be. Now, I want to notice yet, and I'll try to hurry over it, God's credentials. Consider his astonishing promises that he has given you and I. You know, anyone can make promises, but so many times we don't keep them, or people don't keep them. Someone can make a great promise to us, but that promise in Romans 8:28, where he says that we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose, that's a promise God has given to you and I this morning as we think about the greatness of God. So if things are not going forward like you think they should be, remember, God is in control. And what does God want you to see out of all that? Do you see the complexities and the overlapping issues behind making that promise come to pass? Look what God has in it for you and me. Also, on the second point is, consider how he tailors temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that the temptation is tempered by God's own hand before it ever touched you. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful. He will never allow you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. That's a promise that God has given to you and I, that he will not allow us to be tempted over that we're able to bear. We must learn to say no to Satan and yes to God, because he will provide that way to escape. Every temptation we face can be overcome. It don't matter what it is, it can be overcome in the power of Jesus Christ. None of us are no match for the enemy that we face. And I could go on pointing out a lot of things this morning, bring up a lot of examples. But he is our benevolent, all-powerful, all-knowing God who loves to do us good. Nothing is more comforting and stabilizing hope, bringing that believing in God who has the whole world in his control. I want to consider yet, what differences does God's sovereignty make in my life and in yours? It gives us courage to face the days ahead, because anything that we face, God already knows. God already knows. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10, 29 to 31. Matthew chapter 10, 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So why worry about it? Why spend time worrying about it? Because worry is going to immobilize you, and you will not make wise decisions. It says, fear not. There are innumerable events of circumstances in our lives that are beyond our control, beyond your control and beyond mine. Fear and worry can haunt us and arrest us, paralyze us, and if God is not in control, then I should be afraid. I have reasons to be afraid. If I don't rest in the hands of an all-powerful God, may we take courage. May we allow those verses to strengthen us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, it helps us give thanks even during adversity. Now, we don't thank the Lord for an accident or thank the Lord for a building burning down. We don't do that. But we say, thank you, Lord, for what you want to teach me in this, what you want to strengthen me in this. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13. First Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. May we rejoice this morning, even though we think sometimes life gets rather difficult and the circumstances of life get very difficult. As we remain here on this earth, as it nears the end of time, I believe things will get tougher yet. May God help us to be faithful. Thirdly, it humbles us in our planning. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. It is only if the Lord wills that we can do even the most mundane things in life. Don't take another step without considering who God really is. The fourth point is this: it deepens our confidence in him. Who is there who speaks and it happens unless the Lord has ordained it? You know, the Lord can see us through every storm of life. He rides every storm and directs all things with purpose for his glory and our own good. Then he is worthy to be trusted with every fiber of our being. May God help us to do that this morning as we think about that. May God help us to trust him. He wants us to put our confidence and trust in him as we face the things of tomorrow. May God bless you as the congregation here, and the time we'll kneel for prayer.